Before I read our New Testament lesson, just a happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Bless you today. I happen to be married to an extraordinary mother, and I'm most grateful for that. I grew up with a very intelligent, focused mother, and I thank God for her every day. She still reads more books a year than anybody I know. It's usually like close to 100, I think, every year. You can't beat her in Jeopardy or Trivial Pursuit. It's impossible. She taught IB world history for decades at the best high school in Louisiana, and so on and so forth. I also acknowledge that some of you may be without your mother for the first time this day. That's certainly the case for my wife. As I told you on Easter, how her mother died on Good Friday. And so it may be a tender Mother's Day for you. It might be a Mother's Day and you haven't talked to your mom in months or years. You might be a mom. People sit in my office that has an estranged adult child. The point is, this day hits people different ways, and we know that as your pastors. We have families in this church who desperately want to be mothers, and it hasn't happened for them yet. And we pray for all those. So wherever you are today in your mothering journey, or with your mom, or missing your mom, whatever it is, God bless you. I don't think we ever can thank the moms and the women's in our lives enough. I just don't think we can. From there, we go to the Gospel of John. And John's Gospel today is a wonderful reading that asks a lot of us, to be honest with you. And that's what my sermon's going to be about. So listen to these words of Jesus. In John 14, I don't know what the most famous chapter of the Bible is. This would be on the list. If you know what's around this, the beginning and the end, you've heard it your whole life long. But this is in the middle of some really famous stuff. John 14, beginning at verse 15. If you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. These words, six very commanding and challenging verses from John's Gospel, are by the Holy Spirit for us this day, the Word of God, for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I'm going to start with a story. I've not told this one before because I don't look very good in it, but there we are. One night I was making dinner for my wife and three children, and I think she was helping. She was like cutting things, and we had cut some carrots and we put them in the top oven in our house. We have a double oven like many people does. It's vintage 1999 our oven. It's wonderful, and carrots when there were some olive oil, salt and pepper, roasting carrots that we had chopped. Very basic. Well, while I am starting to like pan fry the chicken breast we had, suddenly I hear the oven behind me lock. Like, you know, electric self-cleaning ovens, like they get so hot that they lock to keep everything in, basically to make an air seal so that it doesn't catch on fire in the oven, right? Because it gets that hot. Well, I heard the oven lock and I thought, well, that's odd. And I went and checked and it was supposed to be at like 375, right, for 20 minutes. Only when I put my hand on the back of the oven, it was like the sun. It was like a million degrees. So being the genius that I am, I tried to open the door, which let a little air in. And guess what happened? It was like a fireball inside my oven, like the whole thing caught on fire, right? So I run, go grab the fire extinguisher. My wife is desperately trying to turn it off. It won't turn off. Like, this is a major malfunction. The fire alarm is now going off because I've let smoke into the house, correct? Everybody still with me? It won't turn off. I start to think, oh my gosh, this thing is going to melt through the floor, right? Because I've seen those action movies where something gets so hot, it just melts right through the floor. So I run to the fuse box, only in my panic, I can't find the right fuse. So eventually, I have the genius idea to run around the house in my slippers, right? And I go to the main on the house, and I cut the whole thing off. And that's the only way the oven got cut off. The funny part of the story, of course, is this, that in the whole thing, none of the kids ever came downstairs. Right? Smoke alarms, the smell of fire, all the power goes off for like 5 minutes. So I turn the power back on, and I'm like, hey, guys, and they come to the top of the stairs. And I'm like, why didn't you come downstairs? Mom and I just had a big problem. And our middle child said, well, we figured you'd handle it. So there you go. Where this connects with the sermon is here. The repairman comes, and he can't do it. We have a home warranty. Ovens are expensive. I'd rather use that and the sort of the deductible for that. We're going through all this rigmarole. And eventually, I finally get the home warranty company to agree that they're going to buy us a new oven, only I have to buy it from a catalog website that they have. Like, you can't just go to Lowe's and get one. And that required me doing measurements. And the lady explained to me how to measure how big an oven slot we have, because they're not all the same, it turns out. And she explained it. I took notes, just for the record. I threw this page away at some point. I was so frustrated. I thought I could do it. It looked so easy. It was just height, width, you know, depth. Only how do you measure the depth when the thing is there in the first place? We had to take off the metal rim around the outside. I couldn't figure out how to do that. I didn't know if I was supposed to measure edge to edge from the inside of the cabinet or to the outside. I had no idea. And the lady on the phone made it sound so easy. She made it sound so simple. And I felt like an absolute dolt. I felt like I had like a bolt for a head, that I couldn't do anything. Now, I'm not the least mechanical person in the world, but clearly I'm not the most mechanical person in the world either. And to this day, our top oven still doesn't work. Just the bottom one does. To this very morning, that's still the truth. The point of that story is to say this, like, it seemed easy until I tried it. It seemed easy until I tried it. Some things are like that. Sometimes Jesus is difficult. He's elusive to understand. Jesus can speak in parables. He can use metaphors. He can invoke cosmic imagery, these big, 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 big texts. The Bible can do this too. It uses all sorts of different literature and techniques to try to teach us its messages. And sometimes we have to put on like a pair of interpretive glasses to make it make sense. But that's not the case in John 14 today. Jesus here is remarkably straightforward. Here it is. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It is what it is. It's pretty straightforward. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You don't need the interpreter glasses. You don't need the cereal box decoder ring from when some of us were children. Jesus says, if you love me, if you really love me, if you want to follow in my footsteps wherever I go, you will do the things that I told you to do. Seems easy, right? Well, at least until you try it. I mean, for starters, where are the commandments of Jesus? There's not a list of 10 like the 10 commandments in Exodus. I mean, you've really got to dig to try to find them. Where are they? How many are there? What ground do they cover? Well, depending on where you look and who you ask, there's like between 37 and 43 different commandments of Jesus. Some of it comes down to how you interpret some of the texts. When Jesus says, you love me, you will keep my commandments, I think it means that he's challenging us and our assumptions about his kingdom as well as our commitment to his mission. He's wondering, will we follow his commandments and express our love to him or not? Now, I think most of us know that Jesus loves us. Right? I hope so. I hope you learned the song, Jesus Love Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Right? And most of us know we're supposed to love and trust Jesus. But by his own words from John, part of loving him and following him is trying to enact his vision in the world by following his 37 to 43 commandments. All of them are found in the Gospels. Most of them happen to be in Matthew. And they cover a whole lot of ground. Here's just six or seven of my favorites. If your right eye causes you to stumble, this is Jesus saying this, then you should cut it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Wow. That's got a high cost, doesn't it? Here's another one. I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Really? That's not how my daddy raised me. You have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's a hard sell. That one's tough. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Well, I think it's impossible to go through a day without judging something, isn't it? And at my worst moments, I've been awfully judgmental. I hope that's not the standard I'm held to. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive a brother or sister who sins against me? Seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Then Jesus said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Jesus is warning us there that greed and avarice kills. I'm not sure in 21st century America there is a more motivating thing than greed. It's all around us, all of the time. This is my commandment, he said, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. That's in John 15, one chapter after Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Now, y'all, that's only seven of the 40 or so commandments of Jesus, and they are just the tip of the mountain. Each of them gets harder than the next. And when the Lord we worship in John 14 says that I want you to live into my commandments, he's actually being fairly serious. And with this small sample size that I just went through of a little less than 20% of his commandments, we can tell that this is hard to emulate, employ, or achieve. In other words, it looks easy until you try it. It seems simple, but it's not. Sometimes I think when I read these kind of texts, I think that that I'm like a video game character. Some video games have the score above your little avatar's head as you're running around the video game. Right, and I think if our report cards for how we did with Jesus' commandments were above our head, every day I would get a negative score, I think. I'm quite sure I'd have a negative score by the end of the day. Thank God Jesus doesn't keep a scorecard like that. You see, my heart is in the right place. I know it is. I believe it is. I pray that it will be each and every day. It's just that these are hard to do. I mean, when they're on the pages of this Bible, when they're just paper, when they're just ideas, it's pretty simple. But when our feet hit the pavement and we bring our faith out there into the world, it's tough. Several decades ago, the great theologian Reinhold Niebuhr described this difficulty as the impossible possibility of following the ethics of Jesus. The impossible possibility of following the ethics or the commands of Jesus. One pastor that I read this week put it this way. The concept means that while the radical love and perfection commanded by Jesus are impossible to fully achieve by human beings, they remain the necessary standard by which we must live. They remain the necessary standard by which we must live. We are pretty goal-oriented people, I think. It's one of the great things I think about being American. I do. I think America is a place where you have a dream, you make a plan, and you go try to achieve it. We are into achievements. We like certificates, and we like medals on the wall and all the things. And that is good. Go out there and get it done, White Memorial. Go get all that you can out of this life, and please share it with others. It's wonderful if you're in a position to do so. Right? But that's not happening here. Right? Remember, they remain the necessary standard by which we must live, even though it's an impossible possibility. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He never says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and it's super easy to do it. Or here's the guidebook, or anything else. See, this metric, this measurement, right? The way that we should measure ourselves is our willingness to attempt it and our willingness to admit that we need help. We do the best we can, even though the bar is very high. We do the best we can, even if we will never actually reach the goal. Even if we'll never actually reach the goal. I do believe that sort of the life of faith gives us at least two things to help us on this journey. The first is the prayer of confession. We just prayed it from the screens or your bulletins a few moments ago. We Presbyterians take that prayer of confession really serious. Seriously, there are some faith traditions in our country that don't have a prayer confession anymore because it's a bummer. But we'd rather tell the truth about ourselves, that God has called us to do these things, that Jesus has commanded us to do these things, and we still need help. We still need time. We still need to get better at following in the footsteps of the one we call Lord. And that confession is there for us each and every week to remind us, that we have help on the journey. The second thing we have is what Jesus calls the advocate. The advocate is all over the Gospel of John. It's all over chapter 14. I only referenced it once in what I read today. But the advocate in John is the Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us. To help us see the world with the eyes of Jesus' commandments. To help us maybe think twice before we judge that neighbor whose grass has gotten a little bit too long in the tooth. To help us think again when we rush to judgment by something that we see on the news. To help us remember that we're supposed to love even the people that are fighting against us some way, somehow. And I don't think any of that is humanly possible without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it comes and it goes. Jesus says it travels around the world and into our lives like the wind. But I do think we know it when we feel it. And I think it helps us along the way. Back in 2018, we took our family to Scotland, and the end of the trip, our middle son, Gabriel, could stay a few extra days because his school didn't start as earlier as the other two did. And Gabriel wanted to go ride mountain bikes on a mountain called Ben Nevis. Ben Nevis is the highest mountain in the United Kingdom, and it's way up in the highlands of Scotland near a town called Fort William. And to do that means that I had to rent a car in Edinburgh and drive because I couldn't figure out the train schedule. It looks easy till you try it, y'all, okay? It does. All right? And so on the drive from Edinburgh to Ben Nevis, you go through the town of Stirling, which is where King James was born, like King James Bible. You go by a place called Loch Lomond, which is the first national park, I think, in the UK. And you see all sorts of other things. And here's the thing. If all you're trying to do is get to Ben Nevis, just to make the goal, to get the prize, to get your star, to get the check, then you miss everything else on the journey. And if you're ever in Scotland and you drive by Loch Lomond, God's going to ask you why you did that, I think. It's a mistake. You should stop. You should touch the water. You should take in the views. The only thing I know like it in the United States is like Lake Tahoe or one of the Great Lakes up in the Midwest. It is just gorgeous. You'll never forget it. You'll never, ever forget it. You'll go home and you'll learn the song. There's a song called Loch Lomond, which is haunting and sad and beautiful. The journey, my friends, will take place, a place in your minds, until the end of your days. And that's what's happening here. When Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We do love him, and we do want to keep his commandments. And we fall short often. But on the journey with him, emboldened by our act of confession and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we truly can learn more about who he was and how he wants us to live. And in so doing, we learn about and we begin to perfect ourselves. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we offer these many things. And we say we'll be praying for you as you try to live the journey and to keep the commandments of our Lord. Amen? Amen. And now may the God of Abraham bless you richly with the love of Jesus, with the zeal of Paul, with the wisdom of Solomon. May you have the courage of Esther. May you have the loyalty of Ruth. May you have the faithfulness and the wonder of Mary, the mother of Jesus. May you go from here resolved to love and serve your neighbors to the best of all of our abilities. And in that service, may your hearts be opened and may your lives be changed this day and always through the dedication that we share to our Lord, in whose name may we be blessed always. Amen. Amen. Amen.